This was what the Americans imposed on Europe, the Biden administration. They said, you cannot allow the Russian to weaponize energy against our European friends. That was the Biden party line. Russia never weaponized or politicized the energy. Look at what the United States have done. They've completely politicized and weaponized energy. Nord Stream pipeline, first exhibit, okay? But put that even off to the side, as outrageous and bombastic of a caper that was. Whoever you think did it, the U.S. are using that as political leverage, as economic leverage to shape European politics and foreign policy. So they're doing exactly the thing that they accused Russia, which Russia never did to Europe. The United States is doing to Europe with energy. Not only that, they're bankrupting and deindustrializing countries like Germany in the process. This is beyond debate. This is not something that we can argue about. It's fact. Okay, it's fact, prima facie. It is what it is. And the fact that this isn't part of the conversation yet, but I think it will be. There will be a backlash. If the populist right grows a brain in any of these European countries and they seize on this issue, then we have hope that Europe could sort of rescue itself from this terminal death spiral that they've placed themselves in. Under the Biden administration put them into this death spiral. You know, if Trump was a really magnanimous and great statesman, he would go to the granular detail on this and say, you could lay it all at the feet of Joe Biden. Lay all of it. Lay Nord Stream. Biden said, with Olaf Scholz standing right next to him in the White House, we're going to destroy the Nord Stream pipeline and we're going to end it. He said, quote, end it. There's that. Biden promised not to send offensive missiles into Ukraine to Putin before the war began in December 2021. And Biden reneged on that agreement, and that created huge problems and escalation. That's actually one of the reasons for Russia's absolute insistence on realizing its security objectives. Because of that, Trump could, if he was into details, if he was more literate, and had better advisors, he could really crucify Biden and really lay the war at his feet, not just saying it's Biden's war, but getting specific, because those specifics bear directly on the Russian positions today. That's how you solve this. That's how you get out of this Minotaur's maze that Trump is wandering around in, with Witkoff and Kushner in Moscow looking at the ceiling art in the Kremlin. It's great. I'm sure it was a wow. But, you know, they're not going to get much further than that unless they start getting smart. That takes serious, shrewd statecraft. You need Henry Kissinger with a big heart, you know, and some foresight. You know, you need Zbigniew Brzezinski without the globalism. You know, you need people that know what they're doing. And they know where the targets are. And Trump doesn't have that. That's a big weakness, I see.
No, yeah, without question it is. That's across the board for the United States foreign policy and diplomatic prowess. It just doesn't exist anymore because we've just let it wither on the vine. I want to ask you real quick, what do you think? We talk a lot about Europe and the United States and Russia here. I haven't talked much about the Ukraine portion of that, but given that Zelensky's right-hand and left-hand man have either fled been forced to resign with Yermak and Mindich, I think his name was. And now a lot of people looking from this NABU and other kinds of organs that, you know, how far does this go up into Zelensky's pockets himself, and might there be any issue with him? With all that broiling at home, and now that the front line's starting to collapse here, and as Macron's warning about maybe the United States is going to cut them loose, how do you see this playing out in Kiev? And what maneuver room does Zelensky have, if any at all?
That, you know, Yermak was regarded as Zelensky's brain. That was one of his many nicknames. Okay, so everything Zelensky did, every sort of, you know, speech that he read off of his phone when he does his social media things and his videos and his statements, is all done and scripted and cleared by Yermak's desk. Okay, so having lost that, Zelensky was kept in an information bubble. Understand this as well. So he's not really given the bandwidth or the latitude to think about what maybe the true situation on the battlefield is, What are the true casualty numbers and so forth? And he's really like an actor or a politician that's just pushed around, sent on planes, doing constant fundraising tours. Think about how much time your average U.S. senator or congressman spends raising money during their term and not actually doing the business of, you know, being a representative of their constituency. That's like Zelensky as president spends more time raising money, cash, weapons, and other welfare, international welfare, than he does actually being president of Ukraine. So he's a wartime president. His job specific. It's raise money, bring in the weapons, make the deals, press the flesh internationally, keep Ukraine up as a priority in the West. So that having lost Yermak is massive. I didn't think I would see the day. But you know what? Yermak has a lot of insurance policies. Because Yermak, if you remember, there were tapes released of Biden and Poroshenko. You remember a couple of years ago? Those were known as the Derkash tapes, named after Andrei Derkash, who originally released these tapes. Now, these were originally let out of the president's office because Poroshenko recorded everything. Crazy. He recorded everything, and he left everything when he left office, and Yermak basically hoovered it all up. And in there was, guess what? It was compromise against Biden. Okay, so this was all public in Ukraine, but it was really hushed down in the U.S. media during the Biden administration and during Trump's first term. And that had to do with Burisma, kickbacks, all sorts of things between Poroshenko and Biden. Yermak has all of that. So there's a lot of insurance there that'd be hugely embarrassing.
He knows where the bodies are buried. That's
he
kind
does,
of the bottom
yes.
Line.
And Yermak is a very clever political operator that built a very tight network of control during his time in office and was really micromanaging so many different things. Now that Zelensky is he's probably having to process things himself for the first time without the filter. And now so this might even change Zelensky's outlook on the current situation, and you might see, I think it's a little too much, too little, too late for Zelensky of having an epiphany on some really important points. I think we saw clues of that when this corruption scandal broke initially, the Mindich end of it, which is going to continue to cascade. And you saw Zelensky made that kind of a little bit of a amorphous statement there about, you know, this is a time when we need to make big decisions for the country's history and da da da. Wasn't sure. No one was clear what he meant with that initial statement. Yeah. So, but it was different than the resolute party line that he had always laid with this messaging previously. So that's interesting. So what you need to understand is Zelensky has been stage managed. Mainly by, it's my understanding anyway, and probably Scott Ritter would agree and others, that the British were kind of managing Zelensky in terms of public relations, communications, imagery, maybe even his itinerary to some degree, and his close security protection. So Britain will likely try to use this political chaos right now in Kiev because they have the bridesmaid waiting in London. His name is Valery Zaluzhny. Now, this might have worked on paper before, but this is a very, if they think they're going to parachute Zaluzhny in, which I can only see this done through a military coup or through an election. That election's not going to happen anytime soon. This could all fall apart very quickly for Zelensky. But Zaluzhny coming in, he's supposed to have the trust of the military and be able to control the far right, the Ukrainian nationalist Nazi elements.
Yeah.
You know, that might have worked on paper a year ago when you're kind of formulating this plan. This is a very different situation now. So I don't think it's going to work.